Happy New Year's Eve.
All right, guys, we're going live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What's going on, PDX? What's going on, internet? What's up to the world? This is Steve Boogie. I got with me here Cash, Bass, Big Booza, JE. We are the High and Low Lies, and this is yet another installation of the High Life Show for Sunday, the Lord's Day, December the 20th, 2020. We almost made it to the end, guys. Almost. Glad to see you all here with us. Yeah, well, how's everybody fucking doing today, man? Booza, what's going on with you? So, I mean, we were going to try to reenact this. I'll be totally transparent, but I'm from New York, and New York, most New York folks have a natural hatred for New England, Boston, Massachusetts area. And Booza is wearing a rather, burn it down, right, Cash? Yep. Booza is wearing a rather peculiar hat that made me think that the hat supported the Boston Red Sox. But looking at it a little closer and him giving me a little more elaboration, it turns out to be a Negro League hat, and it's the Black Red Sox, the Baltimore. Excuse me. Yeah, the Black Sox, the Baltimore Black Sox. Is that not correct?
No, you got it.
I got it after much, so I kind of berated him in the beginning. So I want to apologize to him on the air. It was unfair. It was very offensive. You know, I'm still drinking my coffee, trying to get myself together and shit. So I apologize to you, Booza. That was very uncalled for. But then again, I apologize halfway because you know what that's a provocative hat. It's a very provocative hat.
Well, I think the reason it's provocative is not even for the B, it's the red, right?
Yeah.
You probably thought it was like a MAGA hat at first.
Yeah. Nah, they should. This is of like very low quality. It looks like some shit you get out of the Dollar Tree. But go ahead, man. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no. As I said before, well, first of all, thank you. I humbly accept the apology. I explained that if I can, I like to incorporate. The topics into our into my wardrobe for the week. You know, the last time when I wore the all red shirt, right, I felt like that was the week Trump had lost. I felt like I could wear that without, or you know, as a way of like stomping on the red saying fuck you to MAGA. It's a preview of one of the topics, you know, as far as the hat goes right now. One of our topics for later on in the show. So
yeah,
we'll get into it.
Cash, as a fellow Brooklynite, what do you have to say about all this?
I have to say, so I don't want to, I'm all about, we're trying to be more transparent as a group, but I would like to share that during the faithful, when the Red Sox beat the Yankees, someone among us supported the Red Sox due to unfavored slander. So I would like to point out, you know, the vitriol and hatred that is present. So I just wanted to share that.
I think
which
that
one
was
for you, motherfucker, supported me. The Red Sox.
I think who that did was it? Me. Was it me?
I'm not gonna blow anybody's spot up, but somebody was mad that they were referred to as not being a native New Yorker, and then said, "Fuck it, I will support the Red Sox." Oh. So.
Who's that?
Call him out. If you want to say that, you gotta call him out.
People have very short memories.
Right. So I understand the hatred for the Red Sox runs deep, you know?
Who was that? It wasn't me, because I don't like baseball.
If you're going to say this, you got to say the whole thing, bro. Come on, bro. Who the fuck supported the Red Sox?
Space.
Me? Who?
I don't know. I was trolling, because I don't care about baseball.
Yes. You had to pick one. I'm sure it was the World Series.
So I believe it was sometime in undergrad, and then someone made a comment. Not myself. Someone made a comment about where his original place of residence was not technically New York, and then Boston and they were involved in that 2004 ALCS, and he decided, all right, fuck the Yankees. I really said every time the Red Sox won, he would cheer.
That sounds like me. Trolls.
Yeah, damn.
He was closer to Boston than to like New York City, right? That might have been part of the equation too.
What upstate New York fucking place is this? Like Troy or Trent? What, I don't know what the fuck. Like I don't even know what cities are in upstate New York.
You get a map, but I was trolling.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Well,
that's a good troll. It's a good troll.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I don't know what. Yeah.
I was rooting the capital for the Red Sox over the Yankees in those matchups.
Yeah.
Why?
I care less about baseball.
Oh, because as a Met fan, I don't. We're in different
come
leagues.
Come on, bro.
Right?
Come on, bro. Like that. I mean, listen. I'm a Mets fan over the Yankees also because of my grandmother. But goddamn, are you gonna not root for a New York team? Are you gonna root against New York in a situation with Boston?
Yeah,
involved?
When it's that team.
That's kind of.
Yes. Yeah, I don't even remember.
I get it.
The Yankees are the Death Star, right?
Yeah. They have like the dynasty and all of that.
Now,
shit.
if we go to J.E.'s hat and that team,
that was what
it's
was
a different
go
story.
Next.
No.
For the listeners, J.E. has on a New York Football Giants Christmas hat with a matching New York Football Giants coffee mug. And
that's
he's
right.
representing his no, there's not misleading at all. And I appreciate that.
Got it.
Right. Thank you, sir. We got some trolls in the fucking building today. You know, some Grinches. You know, some Grinch shit.
See how you work that in there.
Nah, man. Little early morning, early show humor. I appreciate it. What you got there? What you got there, Bass? You pulling out notes and shit? You doing?
I always got notes.
I know. We hear them flipping.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We thought you were sketching for, you know, for your company. Circa 86.
No. I'm engaged today.
You're engaged?
Oh, so no.
So no 2K?
No, I played yesterday. I won 2K. +1. I'm happy with mine.
Yeah, we're just making sure you won't play during the recording, motherfucker.
No, I need to.
I'm fucking with you, man. How you doing, though? You all right?
Yeah, I haven't really did much this weekend. Yeah, we really just stayed inside.
That's good.
Watch TV, worked out, the usual.
The usual. The huge. Yeah. There goes Cash. How you doing, motherfucker?
Busy.
Got a lot going on over there.
Yeah.
Making a gingerbread house.
Actually, I could say this on the show because it won't record till after. So, one of my wife's Christmas gifts is food from New York, and I had it shipped. So I'm trying to make sure that it doesn't spoil by sitting out somewhere. Because we were supposed to go to back to New York next week, but then we canceled that. So I had
so you brought New York to her.
See? Yeah. So and it costs way too much, but it's just a matter.
All right. Same, being that she won't hear this until after the fact, what sort of food is this? Or is it about making it too hot by you saying it like?
No. It's
I'm gonna guess one of them. Can I guess one before you go?
Bagels.
Junior's cheesecake.
That is an option. That was an option. That was an option. Yes. That was. I'm not gonna lie to you. That was. But I wanted to get something where if I fucked up and forgot to pick it up that same day, it wouldn't be totally ruined.
So what'd you go with?
So I went with there's this place in the Lower East Side called Waffles and Dinges. They specialize in like Belgian waffles and pastries and stuff. So I was able to get like a kit, and it has like different sizes of waffles, and it has like dip, like dulce de leche and like chocolate fudge and all that stuff. And then
dulce, so it comes with dulce? Is it dulce?
Dulce de leche.
Or am I just saying that wrong?
Dulce sold separately. Shout out to Total Wines and your local liquor stores.
Yeah. Apologies.
Yeah.
Sounds delicious though, man.
Yeah, so I would just matter because it said out because I opted for the priority, so it says it's outside, and then sometimes they either drop it at the mail collection center at my complex, or they drop it to the door, depending on the eagerness of the delivery person. So I thought it was there just now.
So they dropped it at the main place.
No, I misread it. It just says out for delivery, not delivery.
Oh.
It's nowhere near. I was like, oh fuck.
Your diligence is admirable.
Yeah, just work has been crazy. I've actually been pretty busy at work, just trying to. Those dumbasses started a year-end project that they wanted to get finished.
I can never understand that, man. Like, they want to start projects at the end of the year. Good, Cash. No,
honestly, for those of you guys, I am one of the fortunate ones that I was able to maintain employment throughout the year, more or less, and I'm thankful for that. And at the same time, if you guys support this podcast, we don't have to deal with that shit anymore. So please send your social security numbers and debit cards.
Send them debit cards.
That's DM, high, underscore, you know the rest.
You know the rest. We'll say it at the end of the show. Yeah, send that in. You know what I mean? Like, we tired of doing that shit. We want to entertain you guys full time. And to be able to do that, y'all got to send us some fucking money. You know what we need to do? We need to set up a Cash App, guys. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, shout out to send the money to $CashBrooklyn.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because it'll go straight to him and he won't split it among the rest of us. Cash is a hoarder. We're gonna talk about this a little later on in the episode or whatever, but you know, like some of our ventures and how we got to where we are now, you know, what we're doing now. But do not send anything to his individual Cash App, listeners. Don't do that. Because he will not share it with us. Fucking Scrooge McDuck over here. Are you really? You gonna throw that damn sign up again? Nah, man, that's what's up. Jay, what's up with you?
I'm doing good. Getting into the holiday spirit with my hat on, you know, trying to get this dub today. You know what I mean? I think we take on the Browns. So
Malcolm is hurt. Your chances should be good.
Nah, I think they're like 9-4 or something like that. The Browns are playing pretty good, man. I don't know. The Giants aren't that great right now, but they've been rolling for the past few games. But you know what I mean? I'm just living life. By the time people hear this episode, like Cash was saying, it's going to be after the holidays. So we're going to be into New Year's and stuff. So, you know, things toward the end of the year are going a little bit better.
Let's go, baby!
But, yeah, what he said. But how you doing, Faith?
I'm good. I can't complain. I'm home. But, yeah, man, just bringing it back. So going and getting into a little bit of sports here. Boozer wore the Baltimore Black Sox hat, and I think it perfectly correlates to one of the things he wanted to talk about. Apparently, the MLB reclassified the Negro Leagues as a man. That's, you know, I mean, it's a look back, but it's historical nonetheless. Is that not correct, Boozer?
Yeah, no, you got it. So for the first time, Major League Baseball is gonna incorporate the Negro League into the MLB records and recognize not all the teams, but I guess most of the teams during a certain time period as the players and those teams and their wins, losses, you know, home runs and all that stuff. They're going to count them and account for them within the current MLB records, which, yeah, it's been a long time coming. But if you, like, you know, listen to the Major League Baseball people talk about it, it's basically like it's not something that was brought up very much previously. Like, people just accepted the fact that they were kept separate. And it was never a conversation that happened where, you know, someone suggested, like, hey, maybe we should do this, you know, 50 years ago. And someone said, no, we're not doing that. It's just no one ever said anything. And I guess 2020 being what it has been, finally the light bulb went off inside someone's head. And thankfully, yeah, Rob Manfred announced this week that they're going to do it. But it's still going to take a lot of time, I think, for them to figure out exactly how to mesh those records. And they have to even figure out what years to include. So it's from 1920 to 1948. Those are the years that they're going to include, even though the Negro League started back in the late 1800s.
I see. I know Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in the MLB. Yeah. Right now, he came from a Negro League team, right? Or did he not?
I would assume so.
I think he did. All right. Yeah. So. You know, and I presume that after he came in, I'm assuming they probably brought a lot of players from the Negro Leagues into the major leagues and what have you.
Right.
So, Yeah, I just wonder, what does it mean beyond them just acknowledging their records and all that stuff? Does it mean anything, you know, financially for anyone? Or is it just, it probably just bring, I think it's good nonetheless, because it'll bring more to, you know, to fans of baseball and what have you. But then to see that, hey, you know, these leagues exist, and we got to where we were today because of some of the players we pulled from those league, the Negro League teams, into the MLB. So, you know, gave a lot of, you know, it helped with what have you. So hopefully, you know, they do something on a go forward basis where maybe they have a week dedicated to, you know, the Negro Leagues, maybe some of the teams like wear their uniforms or something like that. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. Going back a little, I think maybe what prompted the MLB to even do this was because they were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues this year.
Oh, okay.
So I think all the teams wore a patch or something to celebrate the centennial. And so I guess that is what prompted the conversation. But yeah, I really like your idea of the current teams wearing basically throwback Negro League uniforms for a week. It can't just be a day. Yeah. All of them absolutely do it. They do, they have
Jackie Robinson Day. Maybe throughout, I don't know if the league.
Yeah, it won't be in February.
Do they play? It won't be February, right? Their season is starting to the springtime or something like that, right?
Yeah. End of April, early May is when they get going.
Gotcha. But no, that was pretty cool to bring up, and you know, nice touch for you wearing the Baltimore Black Sox hat. I learned something new today because I was wearing take his hat off, putting on what I thought was a Red Sox hat. So again, apologies about that.
Yeah. Just one thing with the records though. So I'm really interested to see the Major League Baseball records that we know, everyone knows, all right, who's got the most wins as a pitcher? Who's got the most home runs? Is Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds, is their home run record going to change now because they're going to include the home runs from, you know, some of these tremendous Negro League players? But there's five Negro League players who might be in the top 10 all time for batting average. So that means Babe Ruth and they would be bumped out if these guys were to be added in. So it would be some shit. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a big backlash from a certain segment of the population once this becomes official.
You are now listening to the High Life Show.
Welcome back.
Yeah, man. Thanks for that, Boozer. That's an interesting little tidbit of history there that we just talked through. Lots going on in the NBA, man. Looks like the Nets are, you know, meshing well. KD and Kyrie are playing good. So
that's
fucking
in three.
Kyrie, I think we were talking about. That's in three, baby. I saw Kyrie was burning sage at the game against the Boston Celtics, which is pretty fucking interesting. he's very spiritual, I guess. Believes in the pineal gland and opening your third eye and all that stuff, which I subscribe to a certain degree. So, you know, but Nets are looking good.
If Kyrie burning sage was the weirdest thing he's ever done, I don't think anyone would bat an eye at it. It's just knowing all the other crazy shit that he said, people are interesting. It's more interesting.
It adds credence to the fact that he's, you know, eccentric.
Yeah, but him doing that, I don't think it's anything so crazy. He was doing it in a safe manner. He knew what he was doing. It smelled great, according to people who were there.
It smells good.
So I think that was pretty cool, and it seemed to have worked. I mean, shit, he was there for 2 years in Boston, and it was not a good fit for him. I think he does have some bad juju to get rid of over there.
Yeah, I think that's what it had a lot to do with that. What's up, Cash?
So I was seeing how he interacted with his teammates and the staff in Boston. So I saw something where it said the media perception may not have been real. And again, I don't keep up with the regular season so much with basketball because it's football time for me. So I don't really pay attention. So is that true? Was there a lot of strife with his time in Boston? Or was he just hurt a lot and he couldn't play?
He played. He was hurt, right? He hasn't had a really healthy season. except for 1 year in his 9-year career. Okay. But he played more games than he missed. So he was okay. relatively healthy.
Okay.
But there was just like locker room shit that was coming out that basically Jaylen Brown and Tatum couldn't like vibe with him because he came to Boston from the Cavs and he was expected to be the leader in Boston because these guys were young. They were, you know, high lottery picks.
Yeah.
And everyone, like, he'd never actually been the leader of a team, Kyrie, before, because he had LeBron. And then when he first got
before LeBron got there, he was kind of like the de facto leader.
Yeah, but he was mad.
But he was still developing.
Yeah, he was young, and he didn't accept the role as a leader. Like, he would answer questions, like, to reporters saying, yo, I'm just a kid trying to figure shit out. Like, he never took the mantle of leader on the Cavs before LeBron came back. Right. And then, obviously, when LeBron did, he started fighting. So then going to the Celtics, he was expected to be. He was, you know, a veteran now in the league, like 6 years in. But he just and he tried to do it. That's the thing. He tried to be a leader. He just didn't know how and ended up rubbing a lot of his teammates the wrong way. At least that's what came out. Now, to Cash's point, like the way they were like hugging and like interacting after during the game and before the game, this preseason game started. The other night, it looked like everybody like loved him and there was no hard feelings. But I think that's just with the passage of time. Like, he's not there to be getting on their nerves anymore. So they still like remember, like, okay, we were with this guy for almost every day for 2 years.
Right.
You know, it wasn't all bad. It's just the on-court basketball stuff they didn't care for.
Because the only person I felt like he might have had friction with was Jason Tatum, because I said in the chat, him palming his head when you shit, like, I would have fought him right there. Don't touch me on the top of my fucking head. Wrong with you? You don't touch
me. Yeah, but he let him, right?
Isn't Kyrie famous for, like, don't rub him on his head?
Yeah,
like,
only big brothers, bigger cousins, or your dad is allowed to do that to you. Speaking of separate ways, fucking LiAngelo got the kibosh as soon as he got on, right, Base? Like, the Pistons let him go, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, he didn't really even get the... There's, like, this one clip that I think somebody was trolling. And it's just like him doing a layup, and they're like, "Thank you for your time with the Pistons."
That's fucked up. Yeah, I saw that.
Damn.
I don't know. Pistons. I'm like, did they really do that? Because it was like his great moment.
It was him doing a layup, and that was it. I think I went to the Pistons Twitter because I was gonna repost it. That shit was. I don't think they did that. I don't think. It's literally like him in a layup line did a layup, then I said thank you to Melo.
I wasn't even during the game.
No,
goddamn.
He didn't get into a game, right?
No, he didn't.
Yeah. Goddamn. Well, who did he piss it off? I wonder what happened. Like, he didn't even get to like a preseason game. Did he even play a preseason game?
They normally do that though. They pick they have their roster, and then if you don't make that starting roster, then you can get cut. There was only like three of them that got cut overall, I think. So he just was one of them. Yeah. But I mean,
LeVar is tight about it too.
Yeah, as he should be. Like, what the fuck? Why bring me anyway? Like, why make this big enough? I mean, I don't know.
He'll go to
the D League or something like that, right?
Yeah. He's just playing time. And then come back.
Yeah. So hopefully he comes back.
But
you know what though? His brother's doing his thing though. LaMelo's doing his thing. You see the dimes he's passing off and all of that shit, like throwing lobs and all of that. He's showing some promise. You know. So number three overall.
Nobody. I think I won that bet.
Hopefully he keeps it up.
Yeah. You won that one. I give you that.
We give you that one.
He's showing
Lonzo doing really well too. His shot is looking better and better.
You see his little brother hitting threes. He got to now.
Yeah. But speaking of, like, can we agree that LaMelo's his shot is still like ridiculously bad?
The form?
The form,
this. He's like, y'all remember Sean Marion from back in the day?
Yeah, the spiral. Noah with the spiral shot. Yeah.
No, Marion had good. Marion just had bad follow through, and it was a quick release.
Nah, his elbows were out, bro.
It looked bad. It was like this.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it a two hand shot?
Pretty much.
I think they shoot like that because they were playing for so long and they were playing short. So I think they just kept that same garbage form.
I can't palm a ball, so I'm pretty sure it looks like that.
Right.
If you go palm a ball, I'm pretty sure you have the good follow through. But for me, I need the support.
Right.
But I think they said they taught him that way. I think he said he learned that way because when they were younger, I think that's how they used to overcompensate for their lack of strength.
That's what I mean. That's what it looks like.
Weak boy.
Yeah. That's what it looks like because they've been playing basketball since they were young.
They probably had him at like 3-4 years old shooting from like the 3-point line. He couldn't get it that far, so he would use the extra. But now he's bigger. He probably doesn't need to do that.
No, he doesn't.
Right.
Does.
But muscle
memory. It's wasted.
Speaking of LeBar, but I don't know if you guys had a chance to check out his dispute with Kevin Durant on his podcast. So basically, LeVar Ball was saying that the way to be effective in the NBA is to press the opponent and just outscore them. That's just simply how you'd win. And Kevin Durant was like, that's not going to work. And I was like, nobody's gonna do it until I go up there. And Durant was just simply like dismissive, like, you can't do that. And then Ball said, don't tell me what I could do. And then Durant was like, you know, the athleticism is different in the league. And Ball was like, I don't care. Durant was trying to tell him pressing no starting point guard in the league. And Ball was like, I'll double him every time. And Kevin Durant was like, no, you can't do that. That's just not how it works in the NBA. You can't just press people defensively. And he was like, yeah, that'll never. And then KD ended up saying, that will never happen. You'll get fired in the first 3 months if they ever let you coach, if that's your technique. I guess he's thinking right from the inbounds pass, you just like harass the fucking person.
You'll get teed up in this era.
I'm thinking of like, that sounds like NBA 2K tactics, like just full court press. But nobody has that kind of stamina to keep
that
up.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Like, if I do that, no, because he's doing that with children. And if one child is more athletic than the other, the less athletic child, like, fuck this. And they'll just throw the ball out of bounds.
That doesn't work on professionals.
No, because they'll just cross you up. They'll just cross you up and leave your dumb ass in the court.
Well, hopefully one motherfucker doesn't go there, fucking James Harden. I hope he just goes to the Sacramento Kings or whatever. Yeah. They're trying to take him to Philly or something like that, though, right?
He's my favorite player, but I like the Sixers how they are.
Yeah.
I want to see what they do this year.
Where would you like him to go?
I don't know. I haven't even thought about that. But I initially thought he should go somewhere. He should trade for Ben Simmons. And I'm like, I actually want to see what they do this year with this new team.
You know, it would be a good place for him, even though it would probably piss me off even more. But, like, it's not like they're going to do anything anyway. The Knicks. Just put them all the fuck on the Knicks. Let him run up his score.
He's going to a contender. He's not going to be sent to
He's chasing championships.
Yeah.
Maybe the Heat. Maybe he'll land with the Heat. I know one thing. His fat ass need to get in the fucking gym, I'll tell you that.
All them parties, even.
So, all right. He ate some of them. How many honey buns he put in that fucking party bag for a little baby?
Yeah, he definitely came in out of shape. I didn't realize how bad it was. Like, because I saw the highlights of his first game, and it just went straight to, like, him playing, like, putting up shots. So I didn't see that pregame picture that's floating around. But, yeah, he definitely looks way out of shape. I saw Kendrick Perkins
10
say,
to 15
like,
pounds.
He said, Kendrick Perkins said he thought that was him, like, coming out of his head on the court.
Yo, Kendrick Perkins is out of control.
He's a weird commentator.
No, it's literally like they got some guy off the street.
Yeah.
But he's articulate. Don't get me wrong.
He is. It's just strange.
It looked like he will slap somebody to death. Like, there's that threat, and I love people like that. Like, I will speak to you politely, but don't say anything aggressive to me.
New topic.
Lizzo. I saw something about Lizzo.
We about
there
to we go.
There we go.
Lizzo.
Already.
So first of all, I think I know like a tenth of a percent about who Lizzo is.
You want her, Boozer. You want her.
And apparently she was promoting some sort of cleanse on her Instagram.
Yeah.
And then people started coming for her saying, like, she's not, like, doing what she normally does, I guess.
Can't be healthy?
Which is to, like, promote, like, positive self-image no matter your size.
They always hate when you try to change up.
So yeah,
that's crazy. Keep doing you.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm all for body positivity, but at the same time, we have to worry about people's health and all that other stuff. So do you, but just make sure you go into the physician and making sure that you're checked out. You don't got to have a six pack and look like Michael Phelps out here, but you can't be looking like a fucking potato either. You know what I mean? So
like a bag of shoeboxes and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the spitting image of L. But when you guys do see me, maybe I'll just start doing this shirtless or whatever. You know, maybe I'll start doing that.
I'm telling you, man, you need to try one of them fucking cannibal sandwiches from Wisconsin. You know what I'm saying? It's raw meat, onion, salt and pepper. Get all the salmonella and fucking E. coli that you can eat. That's right. Cannibal sandwich. Yeah. They call it tiger meat. It's like it's just ground beef, raw, uncooked. With onions, salt, and pepper in there. That's it.
Okay, as the least qualified.
By the year, there's copious numbers in the mid. I think it's in the Midwest. Like a lot of other states eat it as well.
What's the disease you get?
People
when you
get sick and all that. Probably
E. coli, but
E. coli. Right?
There's bacteria in there. That's why you gotta cook your meat.
Yeah, cook your meat, man. At least 160 degrees Fahrenheit.
We have to bring this up again.
Internal temperature.
Wash your fucking meat. We're going there. Let's go. We're here already. Let's go for it. The car is turned and we're here.
Oh my gosh. That's like incorrect.
Get your mind, Cash.
No, you sick ass people go to the supermarket. Take that packet of meat, cut it open, and put it in a pan to cook. You guys are fucking sick. You nasty fucking bastards. That shit needs to be cleansed.
Wash the chicken, you heard?
I'm not saying put it in a spin cycle in the fucking washing machine. That's all I'm talking about. Just fucking get the goop, get the little goop and stuff off. You know what that shit been sitting in? You don't know if the person that cut it up was... It's not about trying to clean germs. It's just a matter of just get... You can't possibly think... Would you lick that packet? Would you lick that packet that meat comes in? No, you wouldn't, right?
Some people would.
Telling me you just gonna buy that shit off the... You fucking gross, man. That shit is nasty. I pray for all y'all stomachs and y'all intestinal systems. That shit is just... No. So them raw meat bastards, them raw meat fucking people... What you said? Wisconsin? California? Where's this fucking place?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
I'm praying for y'all, man.
Cannibal sandwich.
Yeah, I'm praying for y'all. Y'all fucking crazy.
Jay, what you got to say on this, bro?
Yo, don't listen to this man, yo. He's putting out falsehoods, man. Yo, wash it.
Give it the truth.
Don't change anything. It's raw meat, man. You got to heat it up. You got to kill the germs. Your little bit of lemon juice or whatever you're putting on there, it's not killing any germs. If you want it for flavor, for seasoning or whatever,
What do you mean flavor and seasoning?
I'm talking about you're washing the meat if you're using it as flavor or season.
I think you guys are hung up on the term wash. No one's saying to take a fucking hose to the meat. I'm just saying it just needs a gentle rinse. It just needs to be rinsed.
And pat it dry.
That's all. Because I know, you rinsing that thing, it don't do nothing. It's still just a little less dirty than it was in the pack. I'm saying that shit was just sitting there in juice. And now that juice in your fucking pan.
Yeah, you don't know whose hand. I mean, I get what Jay's saying though. Like, you know, heat will kill the germs. So, but I do feel a lot more comfortable just giving my meat like a good wash down. You know what I'm saying?
Get the chicken washed down and all that Caribbean, shit. And that is an offense of the greatest offense. Just taking a shot of the pot, they would disown me. I'm muting.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to any restaurant or anything like that, trust me, they're not washing your meat. So you can ask them. You might stop eating out. When you get the answer you don't like, but
again, I think you guys are really focusing on, because even like the government will probably tell you the basic reason why they say rinsing is bad is because a lot of people put their faucet on high, and then when it hits the meat, that contact will then create a splatter effect, and then you'll spread germs throughout your kitchen or sink, depending if your sink is not deep enough. So I think a lot of people, but what I normally do is I have a bowl of cold water and I just put the stuff in and I rinse it off. It's just like, I don't put the faucet directly on the thing, because then that will spread whatever disease was on the protein everywhere. And that will fucking get people sick. Because now the fucking raw meat particle is on the banana or the apple. You bite into that shit, now you got E. coli. And you're like, why the fuck did I get E. coli from an apple?
So for like a week or two, we did not wash the meat and cook it, the chicken specifically. And that shit just has a nasty, slimy, like, residue still after you cook it.
Jay, what's the final word on this topic? Then we'll move on.
All I was going to say is that's a nice anecdote, Mr. Boozer. But I don't know if it has any kind of scientific merit to it. But, you know, like, do what you need to do. Make sure that if you, even if you do wash your meat, just clean down your kitchen, man.
Right. Don't do it over dishes. Just, yeah.
Yeah. If you're doing it, okay, fine. Just make sure you, yeah, you're cleaning your area so you're not spreading germs everywhere. That's right. All I got to say about that.
Base?
Nah, I'm good. He's been talking about it now.
He's been converted, is what he said.
No, I'm not watching. Well, that doesn't make sense.
Head on over to circuit86shoes.com.
Welcome back.
A lot of people lost friends over COVID, man. I mean, in the literal sense, but also, I guess I'm also talking about, you know, people's dispositions with COVID, you know, whether you should wear a mask or not, and, you know, checking in with people. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people have lost friendships behind this shit because, you know, they say you find out who your real friends are in times of turmoil and whatnot. You know, there's this article out there, I think, Base, you brought it out, that, you know, folks aren't checking in with people and you're losing friendships. People, like I said, have differing outlooks on COVID, whether you should wear a mask or whether you should not and shit like that, right?
Yeah, I reading through the article, it was kind of talking about how, like, people who have, like, health problems or underlying concerns, and other people who actually understand science are like hanging out and being unsafe.
That was a shot for those that didn't.
Oh yeah, it was. And you're like sitting at home trying to be safe. You're making all these sacrifices, not seeing your family. And then you go on Instagram and you see people just partying like it's like there's nothing going on.
Like this is 1999,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. So like I could see how that could cause problems when you're like, what are you doing? Like, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to get mad, and that's going to start a conversation. And that's when people's beliefs start to come out. And maybe friendships that would have probably, or family members that you probably would have been cool with over a period of time if this hadn't happened. But now this is bringing it up. It kind of severs some of those relationships because you see the differences, whether it be political or whatever is the root of that. So, yeah.
And I think people have a right to be out, like to have a little problem with some people are not following the rules and all that stuff, because we should have been done with this already. It's been 9 months. We are a first world country. And you look at Wuhan, I saw fucking, you know, that's where it originated from. I saw some shit from Wuhan. I saw a clip where they're like partying like it's regular, like it didn't even originate there. But it's because they really cracked down and they enforced heavily like the restrictions or whatever. So, you know, I think people have every right to, you know, to a certain degree, condemn the folks who are not following the rules as they should. I'm not saying hold yourself up in your fucking apartment or your house or the basement or wherever the fuck you live, but you know, I think there's some truth to it. Like, yo, what the fuck are you doing, dog? Like, you know, at least put on a mask when you're outside. If you're gonna be outside, you're gonna be among people, put on a mask. Because they're partying in Wuhan right now. They look like they were lit too.
For you guys. Oh, so with the recent medical developments with Pfizer and Moderna and their vaccines, do you think the people that aren't wearing their masks, do you think that they will take the vaccine?
No.
That was easy. Next topic.
I don't know. No, honestly, I wouldn't go as far as to say no right off the bat because everybody's. Can you hear me?
Yeah
we can hear you.
Okay, I don't know if I would say no right off the bat because everybody has different opinions when you talk to them and it changes like every day. You know, you ask them one day, it's like, nah, never take the vaccine. Then they see other people take it and they see other things happen. They're like, well, maybe it's not a bad idea. Maybe, you know, this vaccine is not a bad thing. So I would say it's kind of up in the air. I feel like more people are saying yes to the vaccine as opposed to 2 months ago.
Because I felt like I felt like if they're telling you there's an airborne virus going around and they're saying, oh, wear a mask because it'll protect you and others around you and help to keep the caseload in the hospitals low. But now they're saying, hey, we're actually going to give you this. But I was thinking those same people that wouldn't wear a mask wouldn't even bother getting a vaccine. They'll just be like, fuck it. I'll just get it. And because I think a lot of people are hung up on the fact that if you do get it, 99% of people do come out of it. Okay. But they do have, but they forget about the long haul syndrome, like your lung capacity is diminished. They don't know about you'll live, but you won't be fucked up, but your life
it won't be you same. For a while.
Yeah, medically speaking.
All right.
Also, shout out to the island of Jamaica, which basically said, yeah, let the U.S., the Canada, U.K., all these big countries take it. We'll see how it works, then we'll do it, because that's my approach.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm agnostic about it. I want to see its effectiveness over time. You know, I mean. And I'm a layman when it comes to the medical field and all that stuff. But some of the fucking some of the videos I've seen of these people taking these vaccines have been very misleading, right? So I'm, like I said, I'm a commoner when it comes to, you know, the medical field. I don't know shit about shit. But you've seen some videos with people, like, it doesn't even look like they pushing, they pressing the syringe all the way in. It doesn't look like there's anything in there.
As a former NICU nurse, you know, I can opine on that. Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, you know, I've seen a lot of, like, conflicting videos. I'm not saying either way because I don't know enough to you know, confidently opine on it. But it does, you know, as just a commoner, is like, I don't know. And I saw that one particular video where one lady passed out after getting the vaccine, and she was a nurse. But from what I hear, that happens sometimes, right? Like, that happens. Take certain things, so it's not uncommon. So it's not necessarily that the vaccine is out to kill you and do all types of foul shit to you and all that stuff.
Propaganda goes both ways, man.
Yeah,
you can go either way with that stuff. So I wouldn't get hung up on that. You got to get hung up on the facts.
Yeah, and shout out to Sandra Lindsay. I believe she was the first woman that they sort of publicized taking it out of Long Island Jewish in New York. So shout out to her. I think she was the person in charge of nursing. It said chief something. Yeah. That was her title. So shout out to her. Hope you're okay.
Shout out to Queens.
Yeah, so I mean, me personally, I normally
LIJ is in Queens.
Vaccine. I don't take the flu vaccine, anything like that. I'm just going to wait and see what's going on. But
you don't need the flu vaccine if you drink brown liquor, man.
Oh, God.
I think the biggest thing that you should, one of the bigger takeaways you should look at from all of this stuff is just do a lot of more preventive things on a regular anyway. If you're on some Hulk Hogan shit, take your vitamins and all that, man. Like, I doubled down on vitamin intake this year. Normally I took a lot of vitamin D and all that other stuff. And like, but now, like, I add vitamin C to my regimen. I add zinc, elderberries and all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I took a lot of that. But go ahead, Bass. I'll get your thoughts. And then Booza, we'll go with.
I don't know if mine is different. If mine changes a little bit, but changes the topic direction, but how did you guys feel about them having a black nurse give it to another black person?
Somebody else.
Go ahead, Jay.
I cannot speak on it. It's just the opinion. As far as trust and with like
the listeners, Cash just threw up the middle finger.
Trust with like the United States or the medical community with African Americans, and you know, with the whole Tuskegee thing, injecting syphilis into black men and all that. So, you know, there is some distrust by the black community. So I feel like they're trying to reach out and show these different images, like, hey, this person took it, they're black, they're okay. Oh, look, this person was black and they're helping to make this vaccine. This is something you guys should look into doing, because initially, you know, there was a lot of comments saying from, you know, African American community, from the community of minorities, saying that they're not going to take this vaccine. So they're just trying to build up more trust with that. And even within that picture, and then Dr. Fauci saying, oh, look, what's her name? Kizzy. One of the scientists that, you know, helped make the one of the vaccines. I think it was the Pfizer vaccine.
Kizamekia Corbett, Dr. Kizamekia Corbett.
There you go. They're trying to push that agenda that, hey, look, you know, she made this, and this is a good thing for you guys to take. So that's how I feel about that. They're just trying to get the trust of the minorities, or, you know, more specifically the African American community.
Going off of that, though, you know, the new question, I agree with J.E. I do think, I don't know if it's the media or the healthcare community decided that they needed to put this image out there of minorities getting the vaccine. But I think it was a conscious decision on someone's part to do it. I do think that there is it's working in the opposite direction a little bit than what they expected it to.
They're trying to kill us.
Yeah, it looks
but I think it's still a noble, like, fight that they are trying to, you know, to combat. Because, yeah, to JE's point, there is a lot of distrust, I think, in the minority communities for the vaccine. Right. But then it's like, why am I only seeing black people getting it on TV? That seems a little off too. So I think there needs to be a balance. I think there is a balance. It's just maybe certain networks are showing too much of one group getting it compared to, you know, everyone who's getting it.
Oh no, I was just saying optically it looks weird when I've never seen it on TV when like them really pushing it towards a certain demographic. It just makes you like step back and go, why are you doing that for? Seems right. Like you're like trying to over identify with a certain population. But right. I think to the point that was made before, like the black and brown community is like, yes, this has happened to us before and Tuskegee and that kind of thing, and it didn't go well. So it makes sense to be nervous about it, but yeah.
Well, like they were saying the way they developed the vaccine is based on the spike proteins that are actually on the outside of the virus that actually
the red shit
the cells. Yeah, the spike proteins, the red shit, right, in the picture. So that's what the mRNA is made out of. So a lot of the viruses, the coronaviruses, they share that same thing.
Oh, okay.
All the different mutations, the spike proteins. So that's what they focused on. Not,
so it should get rid of pretty much all of it.
It should
work.
So we should believe in Dr. Kizzy's work. That's what you're saying.
I'm just saying that, you know, Kizzy, the vaccine is a positive thing, and I think
right.
You know, skepticism. I get it. It makes sense to have. But you know, you gotta look at the facts.
Back to the High Life Show.
I'll give the listeners a little bit of history. So, I mean, some of us have been friends for much longer, but us as a collective, I think we've been cool for damn near going on a decade now, fellas. Like I know, for me personally, like I met Cash through that deserves a hand clap, right? You know what I'm saying?
Gunshot.
Progressive. Bang bang. I met Cash and then Cash introduced me to the rest of the group. And I think we've been, you know, hanging tough for about damn near a decade now. And, you know, throughout the years, I think we've tried a lot of different ventures. I think first we got into the sneaker game a little bit, but then we ran into the infamous bots. So that kind of, you know, kind of shut that down. Yeah, fuck the bots. You heard?
I still got a pair of LeBron Warriors, size 7.5, if anyone wants to cop.
Yeah. Shoot an email, a high end.
Seven and a half? High? It's something ridiculous. 8.5, maybe? Maybe 8.5? It's way too small for anyone in the group. That's why they're still.
But nonetheless, if you want that, you can shoot an email to highendlowlive7734.
I think they're
gmail.com.
They might be the LeBron 7s, and they're up to like 16. Yeah. That kind of gives you an indication.
Piece of history.
Yeah, how long? Retros. Yeah, so, right. It's a retro. Is this a retro? I mean, it's in the box.
Brand new.
Dead stock,
in the box.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You won't find no dirt on the soles. Word. You can lick the bottom of the soles if that's your thing. You know what I'm saying? Nasty motherfuckers. But no, man, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is that we've done a lot of ventures over the years and all that stuff, from whether it be selling sneakers to getting into the cryptocurrency craze, right? Cash doing all of our fucking money, right, Cash?
You get him right.
See, he owned to Bitcoin. He finally.
What did they? Yeah. They break the 20,000 barrier.
Yeah, they're back at 20,000 now.
Yeah. No, first time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. But yeah, man, like we've done a lot over the years, you know, from a venture standpoint, and I think now where we are now, we've been talking about this for a while, like just starting a podcast. And I guess, you know, being still and the pandemic kind of helped that a lot too, because, you know, a lot of us had to slow down, you know what I mean? Like get in your house anyway, whether you're working or not working. And, you know, I think we finally found something that stuck, you know, and we've been doing this podcast now since like June. So since like right before the beginning of the summer and what is this episode 23. So, you know, we're moving strong with this, man. And, I've 24. Thanks, Jay. So this is like, you know, 24th episode. So we've been doing this for a half year and, you know, it's been working out quite well. You know what I mean? And I appreciate it. You know what I mean? Cause like, I like sharing my opinions and thoughts with folks that, you know, I mean, we all have different professions and all that stuff, more or less, but, you know, we're all progressive, mostly decent guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's questionable.
Yeah, it's questionable. depending on whether alcohol is involved. No, I'm joking. But, you know, it's been a good ride thus far doing the podcast. And, you know, I'm looking forward to growing this out, you know, growing out our listener base and having folks, you know, maybe chime in every now and again, too. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, doing the different interviews that we've done and, you know, just having some of the debates, some of the healthy debates that we've had here has been pretty cool. What do you guys think?
I think the podcast thing, it's funny that it's the last like hurdle challenge we've tackled, but it's been, I think, the one that we all wanted from the beginning. So yeah, I think, you know, it's a great thing that we were able to finally get it off the ground in 2020. And I think a big shout out goes to Shady Pines Radio for even like letting us, you know, do it, asking if reaching out to Bass and asking if he wanted to have a show, and then him saying, yeah, we'll do a podcast, because it was something that we already knew we wanted to do, and we just never had that like real push, I guess, to do it.
Yeah, I think having a platform, you know, us giving a platform gave us a lot more bigger to like really do this and do it the right way and be a lot more serious about it, to be honest. So thank you, Bass, for, you know, making the connection with Shady Pines Radio. But go ahead, Booz, I'm sorry.
Also, shout out to the big boss at Shady Pines for basically agreeing to the show sight on scene.
Letting us do what the fuck we want. Autonomy, bitches. You know, adding new nuances to it and all that stuff. I think one of my favorite moments of the whole thing was I think the sex jar conversation was pretty funny. I think the Pocky Chip challenge that Jay did was very fucking brave, and that was cool. You know, the interviews were pretty, was a lot of fun. I think when we debated about the Gucci boy versus what's his name, Jeezy. That was cool. So I appreciate a lot of the debates, a lot of the natural, you know, occurrences of how things happen and all that stuff. What do you think, Jay?
No, I was just going to say, kind of chime in. You know, I'm kind of happy this is something that we did branch out to do. I would say in the beginning, I wasn't all that excited to do a podcast. I'm not one to
talk
a lot. Just be honest with you. I'm not one to talk a lot, you know, when it comes to things. I have an opinion probably on everything. I just sometimes I kind of stay reserved just because what I'm thinking, it might be more on defense with a lot of situations. You know what I mean? I kind of stay middle path as far as my views are. So I would say maybe more of a moderate when it comes to a lot of things. Definitely progressives. In other facets of things, but mostly moderate when it comes to most things.
Yeah. No, so I agree, Jay.
Young diplomat.
I agree. I agree, because it's like you have to be careful too when you're on, like when you're putting out content that a lot of people are going to hear, and you don't want to say anything. Like, I think Cash coined the term edit point, right? So it's like you don't want to say nothing that's going to get you in hot water. You know what I mean? Before you even arrive. But go ahead, man.
That and then the content lives for years. Like whatever you put out on the internet, like if you was around during the MySpace era, whatever you was putting out there, your little sparkly pages, your little rap songs or whatever you was getting together back then in the MySpace era, it's still living in 2020. So you know, just be cognizant of what you're saying and what you're doing. I like to do that, but at the same time, don't censor yourself too much. You don't have your own opinion on things, so you still have to have that as well. So I'm looking for the balance there. So this show is definitely giving us some opportunity to do that, and you know, to take on different roles as far as, you know, I love music, so being able to curate some of the music for our episodes is definitely like a dream come true. You know what I mean? Using some of the skills that I learned a few years back, so I get a chance to mess around with that. So I'm grateful for you guys for that. And, you know, shout out to Shady Pines and everything else too.
That's a fact. Bass, what say you, bro?
I think it's cool how we like progress through different things and we try different things. And I too think it's interesting how like this is like one of the things that sort of stuck. I don't know how I felt about the podcast in the beginning either, because I think I was overly thinking about like, what if someone hears this and blah, blah, blah. But nobody really gives a shit. Like, to be honest, and like, it's your opinion, and if it's a well thought out opinion, then like, how can you be like, you know what I mean, held accountable for something that's well thought out and you looked at the facts and things like that. But yeah, I think it's cool overall. And then like Jay was saying, like the music aspect, also being able to like add music to some of the some of the podcasts and just get that out there. I think is also a cool kind of venture for me as well.
Mm-hmm. No doubt, man. Yeah, it's like, no, you're right though, bro. What say you, Cash?
So I guess, you know, regarding the podcast, at first, I guess it was just like a social thing for me because I wasn't really trying to put myself, I'll just be honest, I wasn't really trying to put myself out there. I know my opinions are partially controversial on a variety of different things. And Yeah, and I've learned not to really, I try my best. I'm not as good as being diplomatic, but I try not to be disrespectful if that's a sort of, you know, thing to be. Because like I do, my random thing is, my self-confidence, whatever, I do have an opinion on pretty much anything. It's just a matter of, is that opinion thought out sometimes? No, not really. Just what I'm thinking at the time. So I do like the fact that we have this pod. It is one of our third ventures that's sticking for however long, you know, the chairman base, whatever he decides to do next, we pretty much, you know, go along with that. But I think so far, so good with the pod. And, you know, I think it's a good chance to sort of, and I, you know, not to be, you know, savage, just from like a social aspect, you know, with COVID and everything, you just being in your house, at least you have these, you know, times to at least talk to someone that's not a wall, not a chair, not anyone in your house as well.
Not somebody that you hate.
COVID can make you do that sometimes.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point that I don't think, well, I know I haven't necessarily reflected on too, is the whole, you know, having these like Zoom calls with friends to catch up because you don't see them in person anymore. So I know in the beginning, like that was a big thing, right? Like everyone said, like, oh, that's why Zoom became as popular as it did.
Right.
And so we, because of the pod, ended up doing this like now twice a week because we have our planning session and then we have the recording. And it's true. It's like we see each other more now than we did prior to COVID, right? Because with us being all over the damn country.
Yeah,
like yes, we would like, talk. Yeah, like we would chat.
I may see one or two of y'all maybe once or twice out of the year. But now I see ugly faces every fucking week.
Yeah,
I'm beautiful, man.
So yeah, that's one of the like great things that came out of us doing this. Now is like it added another like layer of us keeping that friendship and camaraderie going. And I, you know, I rarely do Zoom calls with like, other family and friends in my life. But I still have like you guys to kind of keep that, you know, optics and, you know, it feels like more of a physical interaction than just chatting through GroupMe.
It's definitely got me looking at the news a lot more.
Yeah, really I agree.
Looking at, what's actually going on in the country. And when you really start to break it down, especially in a year like 2020, there's a lot of crazy shit going on in the world.
That made me think about that Japanese scare wolf. I'm going to call it that. That was pretty cool. Good pick out for that base. Like, that was some funny shit. Because I want to go to Japan now and, like, take a picture next to one of my motherfuckers.
The scare wolf.
Yeah.
2021 will be the new year. Like you said, hoping to do better than this year. It was fucked up for a lot of people, you know, for a lot of various reasons. Like I said, for, you know, me, thank God. And, you know, it hasn't, like, I moved across the country. Well, not across the country. That's dramatic. I moved halfway. I'm like a 3-hour flight away. It's not like I moved to fucking Zimbabwe or some Botswana or some shit like that. but it's just me. So hopefully, you know, when the world opens back up, I could be a little bit, I could explore a little bit more, do a little bit more stuff like that. I've also been, I guess, this whole pandemic too, it made me realize, I guess, how fortunate I was with certain things. So I'm gonna try to be a little bit more, you know, generous, like next year, like stuff like that. Like this year, the first time I ever did, I think the Salvation Army has a thing where you could buy like Christmas, I think it's like a Christmas list for kids. Mm-hmm. So you could pick a kid, you buy all their lists, then you give them. So that way, I think it's for like less fortunate families or whatever like that. Like this was the first year. Because not going to work and not stuff like that, like most of my money would be spent on bars, happy hour, stuff like that. I'm not going to the bar, and Total Wise is amazing. So I have like $20 left over at the end of the week. I'm like, might as well just buy this fucking Optimus Prime.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Being charitable and all of that stuff because people
need it. Yeah, you just got to give back. I think you get what you give. That's how the saying goes. So I think not before I wasn't like totally just being an asshole about it, but now that at least I have the time. Go ahead, J.E.
No, all I was gonna say.
I'm just kidding.
It's like he was sticking on like kind of like personal goals. I was thinking of like squad goals, like you know we posted just now in the messenger. Looking to do more in 2021 as opposed to 2020 with the show and the podcast and everything else. And I know we were talking about stuff online in the planning session and just to bleed some things out, just like as a coming to you sort of thing to our listeners. I feel like one of the things that we want to step out and do a little bit more is more promo. So we're more visible out there. And one of the forms that we're digging is maybe like some merch. So definitely look out for some High and Low Lives merch coming in the future.
That's a great point though, Jay. So I think as we build this out, as we build out our, you know, I mean, I don't like to look at us as a business, but you know, we are putting content out there. We do definitely want to grow out our listener base. But as that stuff continues on, you know, our promos are going to, you know, be a lot more widespread. You know, want to put some merch out there for folks as we get a bigger listener base and all of that stuff. But, you know, this year has been very much about laying down the foundation. You know what I mean? You all getting a feel for what we're about. You know what I mean? We fuck around. We joke and all that stuff. But I'd like to think that we're progressive dudes and we hope that you all feel the same way. And if not, whatever.
Punch yourself in the mouth.
That's right. I didn't want to say it, but yeah. I don't want to say fuck you, but
yeah, I'm just putting it out there. Next year is going to be a very big year for the pod. Very prosperous individually on and off the pod. So if you didn't have a chance to get on the wagon now, you know what I'm saying?
New topic.
Might be cheaper now with COVID.
Yeah, nobody's getting on a fucking boat. I'm not getting on a cruise till 2025. You
know? I know, I'm mad about that. That's like I saw my a cruise that was $30,000
a person for a suite. I might do that shit because nobody should be on there.
Base, you said that's your favorite type of vacation, cruises?
Yeah, because it's just like you.
I love them too. I've been on four of my entire life. Go ahead.
I might be up to two or three at this point, but yeah.
It's fun when you have the right. You gotta have the right people though to have a good time though. You know what I mean? Because like you can be stuck with a whole bunch of I'm not ageist, but you can be stuck with a lot of old people.
Me and base went.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we went. It's cool because you get to disconnect, no cell phones.
Yep.
You just. I mean, it's like a floating resort. You don't got to get off the boat if you don't want to. You don't got to leave your room if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Like, there's casinos, like...
Go drink.
Yeah. Yep.
That's your whatever you want. That leads me to one of my most enjoyable vacation stories when I met up with a guy and he was with a female that was very annoying and he was like, I'm fucking leaving and that's it. And then the next day, she comes up to us like, oh, did you see whatever the fuck his name was? And I'm like, oh, shit, he really left.
Got off on one of them ports.
Yeah, he got off the ports, just took a plane. So he's like, I can't deal with this. I can't fucking deal with this girl, bro. I can't. And I was like, I'm upset too. They don't got Hennessy on this boat.
Yeah. Right? They've changed a lot of that.
I was on Carnival and they didn't have Hennessy. So I had to drink Long Island the whole time to get a buzz. So I was upset about that. And then they got Henny White in the liquor store, but you can't drink it on the boat because they hold it for you to the end of the cruise. So I'm like, what is life? I bought a whole bunch of Henny White. I can't drink it. They don't got no Hennessy, but I was very distraught. And this guy had it worse than me. So comparison is a thief of joy, I guess. Also, fuck Donald Trump. I heard he tried to do martial law yesterday. So
he's still president?
Yeah. Yes, he's still president until the inauguration, basically. So, yeah.
It's taking too long, man. It should take him way too fucking long. Get this asshole. No,
apparently he had a meeting to see if he could enact martial law to overthrow the election results, and they were like, no, you can't do that.
Dumb. I think he was looking into, like, pardoning himself. He's really afraid. Like, we about to really hear some shit about him going to jail, man. Because he's trying to do everything to overturn this shit to stay in the White House.
Why God?
Any other thoughts? Questions, comments, Bob, before we shut shit down today?
Nah, nothing at the moment.
Do a music recommendation?
Oh yeah.
I got some. Well, you want to start, Boozer?
Yeah. So Conway the Machine released like a deluxe version of his album yesterday. So he added it looks like at least five new tracks. And my recommendation is The Fear of God featuring Dej Loaf. And first of all, I forgot she existed. So it was, I think the reason why I like the song so much is because I heard her voice and it was pretty good. So yeah, Fear of God. And then there's one with another Griselda artist. I think we've spoken about her offline, never on the show. But Armani Caesar, she's like the first female artist signed to Griselda, also from Buffalo. And so she has a song. She's featured on a song with Conway called Anza. So that was actually pretty dope too. So I guess those are my two song recommendations. And if you haven't already listened to From King to a God, I guess go check out the deluxe version because it has all the initial tracks plus more.
Go check that out.
Nice, nice.
For me, I have, I mean, I'm not going to recommend Game of Thrones because everybody and their mother seen that shit.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Me neither.
Oh, dang.
It's good. Well, you know, nobody.
So here. I've heard.
Yeah, I don't watch sci-fi. I haven't seen it, too. So.
You're very brave, Fee, for tackling a show that popular this late in the game.
Just don't tell people. Or tell them.
I catch most stuff late anyway because I don't really watch TV like that. But, yeah, man, check out Game of Thrones if you haven't, I guess. And I have one song. It's ASAP Ferg, even though he's from Harlem, but it's ASAP Ferg. Features some gentleman by the name of Brent something, and the name of the song is Dreams, Fantasies, and Dreams, Fairy Tales, Fantasies. It's a real like R&B sort of track, you know what I mean? I like that shit.
Heard it?
Yeah, it's dope. It's dope. I like that with ASAP Ferg, so check that out. Anybody else? Any recommendations?
I got one. Right. It played on the last podcast, Audrey Nunez. Damn right, pretty dope artist. This is my first time being introduced to her, so check her out. And we're doing streaming, I guess, too. I started watching The Colony yesterday. I think it's on Netflix. It's pretty cool. So it's about like after the aliens show up and sort of colonize different parts of the world, but you can't really see outside of your city because they put up these massive walls. And then like how humans are sort of like doing this like crab in a barrel mentality because they've like put certain people in charge, but you can't really at this point, because it's early on, you can't really see why the aliens are there or what they're doing to humans. They just sort of, people disappear sometimes. So
The colony.
Got it.
I got a couple recommendations, just song-wise, so I'm going to do something a little different, I guess. So my song for the year of 2020, I'll probably say, is Mr. Roddy Ricch, The Box, that song. You guys know the sound effect, you know what I mean? So I think that was a pretty, just the story behind even making that, him being locked up, and look where he is now.
Hey, yo, did you see the story about him, like, getting into it with, like, I think somebody was doing, like, an art design for him? Like, it was a girl who was making it, that was doing, like, an art design for him, and he got, I think it was Roddy Ricch, he got really belligerent about it.
I didn't see that.
It was pretty bad. The Box, obviously.
She didn't capture his good side? Like, what?
No, like, it wasn't even, like, getting a picture of him. It was like concept art for, like, I think a mixtape or an album he was putting out or something like that. And he didn't like it. And he got real ignorant in his response. He was just like, bitch, I don't give a fuck about that. Would you pay somebody for doing X, Y, Z? Like, he said something stupid. I forget the analogy, but it was entertaining. I'll just say that.
Nah, I didn't know. But yeah. I don't know. I rock with Roddy Ricch. She got some songs. You know what I mean? The Box, like I said, that's my song for the year. Other honorable mentions down below is a good one. You could check that one out. And then Ballin', everybody knows that one. And then like my song pick, my regular song pick is, I'd say like a throwback jam. Mobb Deep featuring Lil' Kim, The Quiet Storm remix. Ooh, I was bumping that for the past couple days. That's I forgot about that track. So if you guys don't know, get familiar. And that's all I got.
Cash, do you have any recommendations?
The song of the year? Oh, yeah. Song of the year is Pop Smoke, Christopher Walken. Song of the fucking year. Album of the year, Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon. Brooklyn, you know what I mean? Rest in peace. We had a good one. Song, I guess, as of late that I liked is Jack Harlow, Rendezvous. Jack Harlow, Man in My City. I like those two tracks from the young gentleman from Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah, and then yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Streaming wise, I haven't really been ripping and running, haven't been able to do much of sitting down and watching stuff. But Power. Watch Power. It's back on.
I gotta watch that today.
Yeah, I watch it via Twitter. Tariq and they live tweet it while it goes, so I get to watch it with them, and I try to watch sit down and stream what I can. But yeah, you know, rest in peace, Pop Smoke. Rest in peace, you know, everybody that passed this year. Yeah, good music. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I guess I'll circle back, and my song of the year is Num Num Juice, the remix by Cooking Soul with my guy Schoolboy Q. That's like my favorite song, so you could probably go on YouTube to check that out. Just type in Num Num Juice, Cooking Soul. That should come up. Album of the year is A Written Testimony with Jay Electronica. And I mean, it was Jay Electronica's album, but it might as well be a collab album with Jay-Z, because like him and Jay-Z was like on every track. Be great, be powerful, be blessed. This is the High and Low Lives, the High Life Show. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Hi guys.
You're listening to The High Life Show.
The High Life Show.
On Shady Pines Radio.
On Shady Pines Radio.
Thursdays from 8 to 10 a.m.
8 to 10 a.m.
Hosted by The High and Low Lives.
The High and Low Lives.
And my daddy.
And my daddy.
Peace, homie out.
Peace, homie out.